We wanted to use this opportunity to share with you a little bit of the what happens at the near and near Europe Forum for Food Sovereignty, to be able to communicate maybe just a small amount of what happened, because we felt it was such a transformative event, so important in terms of bringing food sovereignty home to Europe, that we really wanted to share with you a few elements of it. And when we come in to discuss in the panel, Graciela from War and Want, who helped organise the UK small but very beautiful delegation, they'll join the panel, and we can ask more questions about the process. And just to start with, by saying, why was it called Nieleni Europe? Well, because Nieleni was the name chosen for the forum in Marne in 2007, and Nieleni was a mother figure of agricultural productivity, of fertility, of food, of agriculture. And during the course of the development of the Nieleni 2007 forum, it was suggested that that should be the iconic figure for the food sovereignty movement, and hence it was called Nieleni 2007. And at the end of that meeting, the Europeans met and committed to take the messages from Mali back to Europe, and to have some kind of process in Europe to take forward the ideas of food sovereignty. It took us 4 years. And when those discussions were going forward, we said, well, what are we going to call ourselves? What's this meeting going to be called? And because of the iconic nature of it, decided that it would be called Nieleni Europe. So from Nieleni 2007 to Nieleni Europe, Forum for Food Sovereignty, and a delightful and most symbolic act was held on the first evening when Ibrahima Koulibaly, who is a leader from Mali, a peasant movement, very active inside ROPA, vice president, also on the International Committee of Via Campesina, symbolically handed over gifts of water, soil, and seeds from Mali to the organisers of Nieleni Europe. And here he is receiving the water from Genevieve of ECBC. It was it set the tone, if you like, for the whole meeting. The meeting, as many of you will have known and have read, involved about 400 people, farmers, other kinds of food producers, gardeners, activists, youth organisers, from right across Europe, 34 countries, stretching from the Urals, the Atlantic, from the Arctic Circle to the Mediterranean. And it was a lively event organised by the Austrians, particularly the Austrian farmers organisation, ÖBFV, but also by ATAC Austria, together with a steering group across all of Europe, which included the European coordination, Via Campesina, and many others. I was involved in what's called the methodology group, trying to work out how to run the meeting. The Austrians decided that they would celebrate the diversity in Europe by putting up welcome signs in the opening plenary. And these are they in the language of every delegation in the meeting. There were I can't remember how many mother tongues, but it was something like 30 mother tongues in the meeting. I ran one particular group, which was English language, and we had 20 people and 12 mother tongues. It was hard work for everybody to be able to communicate, but when they did communicate, it was wonderfully, wonderfully rich. The meeting was held in Krems, just out, not far from Vienna in Austria. And it was wonderfully balanced in terms of women and men. It had a lot of youth. I think about a third, was it not, of the participants were young people. It was hugely, hugely energetic. And in the process of the meeting, we had a number of plenary sessions, thematic discussions, looking at the questions of what we wanted to try and achieve, what's against achieving it, and what are we going to do about it. Lots of side events, every spare moment was taken up with formal side events, and then there was informal discussion very late into the night, I think you'd agree. The interpreters were absolutely wonderful. There were 60 professional interpreters who all gave their services voluntarily for the meeting. They did an incredibly good job. And in addition to the five languages, English, French, German, Spanish, and Romanian, there were at least three other languages, Turkish and two others, which I can't remember at the minute, which have been interpreted. They brought their own interpreters, Polish and something else. Communication was a big issue, but the spirit of the meeting was such that people were working from a similar base. Even though they may have come from Azerbaijan or Portugal, they were coming from a similar base, and the ability to be able to communicate the particular problems and issues transcended the communication language difficulty. The food was provided by an amazing army of, again, volunteers. They had 80 volunteers in Austria doing the logistics, including the food, and it was wonderful, was it not? It was absolutely fantastic. The structure of the meeting was very participative, people very engaged. I can't remember any session that I was in the formal sessions where most people weren't saying something at some point in those meetings. All right. And the level of energy was incredible, wasn't it? Very, very, very high. And as I said, transcending the difficulty of communication. Somebody might recognise that person. No, nobody here does. We do. Did he come? No. He hasn't come. He sends his best wishes. Thomas, whatever he has. who was wonderful because he's also bilingual in German and English. And was an extremely efficient note taker. And what we were able to do was to be able to try and summarise some of the richness of discussions in the thematic areas, but also in terms of precise actions. The place was littered with posters and slogans. These are a couple which were in the hall. And the outcome, the outputs, were a declaration. Two slides, I think it's been out on the email, copies are out at the back. There was an action plan and the synthesis report, and that is being finalised. And the synthesis report summarises very briefly on one page the five thematic axes that we discussed, and just go through the headings of changing how food is produced and consumed. 2, changing how food is distributed. 3, valuing and improving work and social conditions in food and agriculture systems in Europe. 4, reclaiming our right to our commons. And 5, changing public policies governing our food and agriculture systems. And obviously a big emphasis on the CAP and also the Committee on World Food Security. And the action plan, which is divided into 3 sections. The first section is the actions that people propose, which are transformative. What are we doing? What's our agenda? What can we contribute? What are we able to add in terms of the food system? What are we actually doing in terms of our more ecological production system, in terms of gardening, in terms of the way in which we're looking after our livestock? What is it we can do and contribute to the food system in Europe? So the whole set of actions under that transformation heading. The second heading, which is resistance. What are we doing to resist the industrial agriculture processes in Europe, the policies which foster that, GMOs, patents on life, and so forth. What are we doing to try and stem the corporate agenda which is pushing the industrial food system in Europe? And thirdly, what are we doing to build the movement? And we're talking about there is how can we better communicate between the different groups that are working, be it in Belarus or in Iceland, be it in Norway or Sicily. What are we doing to be able to better communicate between ourselves? How can we build a movement? How can we strengthen the opportunities to have pan-European events? For example, in the middle of October this year, we will be coordinating actions around World Food Day, World Food Sovereignty Day, on October 16, 17, 18. And here in London, Warren Wands is organising a day of events and actions, and together with the All Party Group on Agroecology. And so the results of all that are going to be made available, will be translated into all the languages. We'll have some pretty pictures to add to it, to make it accessible as possible. I think what, for me, the meeting did was that it reinforced the belief, which I guess I've grown very close to in the last decade or so, about the importance of local food systems, about the importance of being able to have more control over our food systems. And that we, in a sense, gave ourselves permission to be less timid about promoting the food sovereignty agenda. And I think we come back with an energy to try and persuade more of you to join us, to be able to make the links with more organisations and networks that are doing just that in their localities, and to make sure that we can keep the links going with the rest of Europe and internationally in the agenda to transform and make dominant that food system which was described so beautifully by our speakers this morning, earlier on this afternoon, that food system, that majority food system, and make sure that that becomes a dominant food system, and indeed the food system in Europe is transformed. So, thank you for giving me the space. Did you want to add something, any of you?
No, excuse me,
And afterwards, please do talk to any of us if you want more of the detail. Look out for more information about how the movement is developing. But it was fantastic, a very energising event, and if we managed to share one little bit of it with you, I'll have done the job.